Hi, friends. Thank you for listening to From the Friar. I'm Ellie.
And this is Leon. Thank you all for joining us in another episode.
Today, we'll be talking about 90 Day the Other Way, Season 3, Episode 8, Selective Virtues. I'm super excited to say this is the episode that premiered today and we're getting it out today. And I just feel like I owe you guys that since I had both shows delayed last week. So I hope you enjoy it. And I thought it was a great episode. A lot happened. I feel like we're past kind of the build up to storylines and we're seeing it fully develop.
I feel like us releasing an episode on premiere day has been a long time coming.
Oh man, this was always the plan. So I'm really happy to deliver now.
Do you think now that you've been creating content, you kind of see what's involved in, I guess, life, how life can get in the way so easily?
Absolutely.
Of your plan?
Easily. Because it takes one thing, like not going correctly or being scheduled kind of wonky, for it to throw off recording day, editing day. And so the fact that I can do it in one day and we for once have a very chill day and we're just like at home, it's so nice. So I'm really excited to just be like at home and editing and being able to put this out.
Does that speak to how busy for do we just lack a prioritization?
Discipline.
Yeah, discipline.
I think for us personally, both, I mean, we don't have kids, so I think that gives us a lot of leeway in things. Mm. But also because we don't have kids, I feel like people need more from us, if that makes sense. But I think it evens out because people with kids, I mean, you're always busy. You're always needed. So I don't want to say like, oh, my family responsibilities or work responsibilities or the extra hours I need to put in. I mean, I feel like having kids, you're on it all the time. You have to be on. I'm terrified of children.
There's no breaks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, this is exciting. I'm really happy we're doing this and getting it out for the people.
Yeah, me too. It feels good.
Do you want to update everyone on our little break? Not break, but our little hiatus, I guess.
Yes. So next week, we will be leaving on a 6-day trip to a very kind of remote area. So we will not have access to cell phones, internet, TV, anything. So even though we talked about taking our podcast equipment, we really just won't even have access to the episodes or internet to even upload. So for right now, the plan is to see what time we can get our hands on the latest math episode on Wednesday.
Married at First Sight?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then we fly out Thursday morning. We return the next week. So next week, everything will come out on time and we'll kind of play catch up. But we're hoping that we can get that maths episode out on Wednesday. So we'll see. Stay tuned. Oh, something else. So you guys know how we like to try various fried chicken at fast food places or in restaurants. Well, we've started doing that with pumpkin spice lattes, and McDonald's wasn't bad. It actually exceeded my expectation.
It's a little sweet.
It's very sweet.
But I feel
sweet.
Like that's fast food.
I knew I was getting that when I ordered at McDonald's.
It was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
I mean, I consumed like the whole large. So another gauge is like when you get a large drink, you end up drinking like 80% of it.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Like I'm.
You're about right there. It was good. All right, should we just jump in? Is there anything else? I feel like...
No, but I got an idea later on. We're going to have to do, maybe at the end of October, pumpkin spice latte.
Oh, a rating like we did with the fried chicken.
We can do fast food spots, but it'll be weird because we probably don't want to call out local spots.
No. Yeah.
Our favorite local coffee spot is a contender. Or we'll give them like...
A generic name.
Generic names.
That's true.
Like High Five Cafe.
That's right.
And Potties.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah,
Potties.
Yeah, Potties. It gives you the runs. Oh god,
coffee. That's awful. All right, I have no other life updates because the other two episodes were delayed and we just put them out. I don't feel like I have any cool updates for anyone. I noticed last night that the audio on the last episode is kind of wonky. Like my portions are kind of loud and yours are kind of quiet and it almost sounds muffled, so I'll try to play with it and then I'll re-upload if I can get something to sound better. If not, I'll just leave it.
Did you,
since we're continuing on anyway.
Did you see if the input device is the correct one?
It is.
Because we've had
and
that
I did.
Issue. We've had that issue before.
Yeah, in the beginning, you know, testing wasn't that big of a deal. Now it's testing every single time to make sure audio is good. But anyway, let's just knock it out. So we'll start with Jenny and Sumit. Jenny meets with her friend Dipali, and I was super happy to see her have someone outside of Sumit. Even though it's Sumit's friend's wife, it's someone. She tells Dipali about family therapy, and Dipali says it is pretty normal for a mother-in-law to come live with you. She explains that for her, her mother-in-law stayed 4 to 6 months after they got married until the house was settled. And that's kind of a theme we're seeing this episode, is that the woman really does take care of the house and settles the house, if you will.
I wonder what all the mom does in case of Jenny's friend. I mean, 4 to 6 months is a fairly long time.
It does seem like a long time. What does the house
being settled mean? I mean, are you acquiring furniture?
Probably. I mean, are you
helping with...
combining households, sort of, I guess.
Maybe teaching the daughter-in-law how to cook.
I think that's a big part of it, is teaching... I don't know.
Like life skills?
Yeah, cleaning, cooking.
Or... is there a process of, you are now ready, and then it's like time for us to move on?
I truly think that's what it's like.
We have blessed you.
You are a woman.
Oh, God.
She does tell Jenny, maybe it's time for you to change a little now, to change your thinking about her, in reference to Sumit's mom. And Jenny says...
Sumit's mom is so cold. How can you really...
Man, and we see on the next time on, she's brutal.
Very brutal. To the point where I think it's...
it's mean. It's bad.
It's very mean.
Yeah. It's where we see the true colors coming through. She's not here. She's truly here to make her life hell and to treat her like shit. She's not here to make her a better Indian daughter-in-law.
Do you think part of her plan is sort of to criticize to the point where Jenny just gets fed up and says, like, why am I dealing with this?
Exactly. This is exactly how Jenny put it. They're going to scare her off and they're going to have their son back. And that's all they care about. Did you think it was weird that even though they have a guest room, that Sumit wants his parents to feel so welcome that they can take any room in the house, even if that means their room?
I don't know Indian culture like this.
Exactly. So I don't want to say it's weird. I think that's not the correct term to use.
Would the person coming over really expect to take your room?
Maybe. Again, I don't know the culture, but I think what
it is a parent thing, though. And actually, you know what I've seen before, even with my parents? Because we didn't have a lot of spare bedrooms. Mm-hmm. We have a bunch of kids. Every kid's already got their own room or whatever. No. Maybe cousins are coming over and they'll sleepover kind of setup scenario. I've seen my parents sort of give up their bed and they'll sleep somewhere else.
I have seen that too.
When
so maybe it's something I need to think of it.
Uncle, that wasn't even their mom and dad.
Maybe I need to think of it in that context versus just a guest. But really in the sense that these are his parents. Mm. I didn't mean to say it was weird. I just meant if I had an extra room in my house, I would not give up my room.
Oh, no. Extra room already has a bed. No.
Yeah, it's not an option.
No.
But maybe that's in a very American way of thinking of it. Sumit explains to Jenny that his parents want to see their habits. For example, waking up early. Jenny says right now that she's living her best life and a life she's always dreamed of. Not being on a schedule and doing what she wants.
I like her. She's in retirement mode.
Yeah, I'm doing live your life.
Whatever I want, when I want. I mean, getting up when I want. If I want to get up early and do something, I'll do it, but...
otherwise, I'm going to enjoy my sleep. Sumit really does want to live with his parents. We saw that kind of exemplified in many ways. How excited he was when his parents came over. How excited he was to talk about them coming over even before it was happening. You can tell this. He does miss this part of his culture.
What do you think... I'm trying to gauge what their similarities are when they're hanging out. People, do they go to a restaurant? Is that their thing? Do they?
Because they're not like us.
They're not playing video games together.
No.
You know what? I'm curious what their bonding moments are of activities.
I really wonder that as well, because we never get to see anything like that with them.
You don't get to see lovely moments.
Exactly. Enough. Even them hanging out, we never see anything.
TV, you either see them arguing or they're talking about his parents. I'm like. They must have
or the time. Wedding, but there's never just them hanging out or doing something they like together.
And even things we've seen with Jenny is she went to the Hare Krishna temple. But again, that's like they're not bonding.
Yeah, he didn't go with her.
Yeah, there's no connection there. I would like to see that they're in love. There must be a reason, and I want to see why, like what they do together that they sort of connect. What level do they connect?
I totally agree, and I kind of wish we saw that with all couples. We really only see the conflict and things leading up to the conflict. There's never too many, I guess, normal, happy day-to-day moments.
Again, that possibly doesn't make for television.
So. Exactly. I'm thinking too much of a documentary versus reality TV. Summit's parents arrive at the home, and he's very excited. He did his hair beautifully for mom and dad. What do you think of his blowout straightening look?
He looks like a...
It does
I'm a,
look
I'm a
like
fan of his sort of business look when his hair's kind of back and
I like that nice more fade. Than the straightened.
This, the
There's
straightened
no volume.
Front thing is...
I think the volume looks good on him. He says, "For sure my parents will give us a hard time because we live a very different lifestyle. We will need to shift towards a lifestyle they are living right now." And honestly, I think anyone can kind of relate to that. Like when your parents are over, you do tend to kind of shift towards what they're doing, what they want to do. On your best behavior, if you will. Thoughts?
I'm curious why, if you're trying to show your parents how you're in love, why do you have to shift to your parents' like lifestyle? Why can't you show them like this is how we live and why we love each other?
I think it goes back to their societal thing.
Accepted.
Yes. Like you have to live a certain way. Mm-hmm. I have to say, I can't stand the condition of the kitchen.
You have like a pet peeve. Anytime someone comes over, you go into like super cleaning mode.
It's not the greatest quality of me, I will admit.
And it's okay. It's good. I think it more means of like you care about how you present your home to
yes,
people.
Yes, I very
especially
much
people
care.
You care about.
I
which I think is good. I think that's a good trait.
Go into well, thank you. You yeah. get the grunt of this sometimes when I'm like, just mop the floors.
I'll be like, just give me a task list. I can't do this.
You cannot. If I say clean, you don't know what that means. You're very task oriented, which is fine. We know that about each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go back a little bit. The coaster situation. She immediately picked up that they don't use coasters and they just let their glasses leave rings on their table.
But
it's okay. Not that big of a deal. That one's not a big deal.
Not that big of a deal. What if this is just like a used coffee table they bought and they don't give a shit about it? Like,
yeah.
Well... I guess. The mom could say, why don't you care about the things that are in your home?
That you have, yes.
Yeah. And then it doesn't matter if it's bougie or if it's used, you should care about
you
it.
You should take care of your items.
Yeah.
This is where Jenny and Summit lost me. We go into the kitchen and it's a mess. My biggest...
It's pretty
one,
bad.
One of my biggest
fears... Why was
fears,
the bread bag open? That's the one thing I noticed.
They have shelves. Why aren't they using them?
Close the bread bag. The bread's going to get stale.
This is one of my biggest fears, that someone will come over unannounced and my kitchen will just be trashed. Because there are days where if I'm cooking something, like a big meal, like the kitchen's trashed.
There's definitely days where I take my pants off and I throw them on top of my shoes.
In the entranceway, just to...
Because you need to
immediately
get business off of you. You need to get short.
I can't stand that.
Someone just came over and was like, why are your pants... like,
in the doorway.
Yeah, why are your pants in the walkway, you weirdo? Pick up your pants, yeah. I could, you know, no one's perfect.
Yeah, and so that's honestly one of my biggest fears. And like Leon said, when people are coming over, I go into hyper mode. It's maybe not healthy, but I need it to be a certain way. I've been known to yell, clean to my standard.
She's like, are you cleaning the bathroom or are you cleaning it to my standard?
Yeah, because he'll go, I'm done. And I'm like, no, you are not done. Again, not sure if this is good quality, but it gave me a lot of like anxiety to see the condition of this kitchen.
So awkward though. Why are we just all? They were probably standing there watching Jenny clean for like an hour.
Yeah, and it's not appropriate. So we're talking about how I do agree that the kitchen's really dirty and it should be cleaned for guests.
Yeah, can I show you the rest of the house and we can come back to this?
Yes, but to kind of berate her and then put her down and say, you have to clean this right now. And I'm going to point with my foot to things that are on the floor. And you have to do all of this right now. And your husband, for some reason, can't help you. Probably culturally.
I just like
but...
how they always keep comparing, you know, this is what an Indian wife mm-hmm. does, or this is Indian culture. I was like, Sumit, you did not marry like this generic Indian lady.
Yeah.
You married this older American.
Yeah.
Why do you keep thinking like it has to be exactly that mode?
That's a good question, because she did give up her life to live in India. Should she give a little bit and convert somewhat to Indian culture and the standards of an Indian wife?
I think that's totally fine, but there should be some kind of Submit does a little transformation as
I
well.
I would love
For
to
example,
see him. do something.
Why are we just watching Jenny awkwardly clean? Why couldn't Submit go get the fucking broom while she's organizing like the dishes, shelves?
Yeah.
And just sweep up.
Because mom would never allow that. Can you imagine mom? You're going to
have my son sweep?
Exactly. Because she said in her interview, like, we take care of the home. That's what we do. It's our job every day. So if she saw Submit cleaning, can you imagine the backlash? Even beyond the dirty kitchen?
Yeah.
Also, I really did not like Submit saying this. He said, I'm happy to see the way the house is being cleaned. He says, it's not that Jenny is doing a bad job, but my mom is asking her to do a better job, and I like it. That's fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
He's not being a united front, I guess. And he already said he's not going to stand up to his parents if they start picking on her. He's not going to have her back.
I don't know.
What are you doing, Jenny? Also, did you feel like some of her reactions were a little immature?
Jenny or the mom?
Jenny.
Give me an example.
Just her being like, this is my house. I'm going to have it how I want. And I get that, but it's also like really disorganized when you're having guests over. And I don't know. You can't really throw a fit, I feel like. Though you can totally be mad about your mother-in-law bitching you out. That's fine.
Oh my gosh. Her mom. Submit's mom.
Do you want to talk about next time on right now?
Yeah,
let's do that.
Because that was the whole episode was just them just harassing Jenny on her kitchen. Ugh,
so annoying. And then...
Sorry, Jenny.
So on the next time on, we see Jenny kind of refilled with hope that her relationship with her potential mother-in-law is getting better and that they will be able to have a relationship one day. Submit's mom is smiling in her face, saying things in nice tones, but she doesn't know the language, and she doesn't know that Submit's mom is completely trashing her to her face. I think Jenny's having so much fun with her, and it's sad to see.
They're making like a almost like a tortilla-looking dish, probably naan or something. I don't know. And the mom says, you can't do anything, but smiling at her, and Jenny's like, just smiling back.
Just having a fun time.
I think that's a bit psychotic.
Yeah, it's really mean.
That's super mean. I'm just waiting for Jenny to learn a bit of the language. She should be like, she responds like, I think you're a bitch.
And then Submit would leave her. He would never be with someone that would tell his mom off.
Right.
I would love to see Submit do anything for this relationship.
Kind of like back up Jenny.
He can't back her up. He can't help her clean. He can't stick up for her. What can he do for her? I'm seeing nothing. Mm-hmm. Jenny, what are you doing? Go home. She does say she gets along with younger people more. She does say she gets along with younger people more than people her own age. So she needs to find someone near her daughters, a little bit younger. Enjoy your life. Because this ain't it.
Yeah. I can't see how this is going to work long term, considering Stanley's opinion. But they're not backing down from their stance.
Exactly.
And they're, even though they're doing this whole trial movement, I don't think it's going to be successful.
No, not at all. I mean,
the preview, it looks like it's going to get worse.
Yeah, we're just seeing the first few days. This isn't even the big move-in. This is the staying for like a week. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be horrible. Nothing good is going to come from this. All right, Ellie and Victor. Kind of the theme of their section is expenses and finally confronting him about cheating. So they've been staying at a hotel in San Andreas, which has been very expensive, so they finally decided to rent an apartment. Victor says they're staying for a month or two, but do you think it'll be longer?
If they don't break up by month two, then I could see it be longer.
Okay.
Because there's no way they're fixing up the house that fast.
All right. See, that's where I was going. I also don't think that the house is going to be to Ellie's, I don't say her standard, but a livable condition.
I would say even not comfortably living, but just you feel safe in the home.
Yeah, exactly.
You got four walls and a door you can lock.
Some water.
Yeah.
Electricity.
Just here.
So this is the first time that Ellie brings up Victor's infidelity to him. They've only kind of had video calls.
Mentioning it.
Same. I really didn't like Victor's response of, it was during the quarantine and I didn't mean most of the things that we were talking about, when she brings up the point of
living with the partner.
Living with the partner, but also telling the partner that we're going to get married and we're going to have kids and we're going to have this life together. He says, well, I didn't mean most of the things I said.
So you're habitually lying to someone to get it in.
To get what you want, and what makes Ellie any different? Ellie asks, while you two were together, was she financially supporting you? Great question.
I don't recall this response, so please remind me.
He says she never used to give him money. She never gave him money, excuse me.
So she just bought everything for them.
Yeah. Ellie brings up that he wanted her, the other woman, to buy him a motorcycle. He denies it.
How do all these women have jobs and make money, but this dude apparently can't get a job?
That's what I was wondering kind of throughout this episode, is I'm wondering why he has no money. He seems like he's good with tools. He can help build a home. He can do all of these things.
40s, right? Early 40s?
I believe so.
I think it's early 40s or like late. I'm pretty sure it's early 40s.
I think it's early 40s.
You must have some skills and
I mean, he does. He's fixing up the house and he's just not...
I mean, whatever you did pre-COVID, you should be able to, like, it's been a long time. Like, just try to do something new. Just do something because, I mean, if not, you're just hanging around.
One of his comebacks to Ellie is, oh, do you believe everything she says? I mean, kind of. What
you were lying to my face, so yes.
Also, what would be her reason to lie?
Yeah, what difference would it have made if she said, yeah, he asked me to buy him a bike? Or if she didn't mention that. That removes nothing about the infidelity, lying to her.
She knows that he wants a bike. So.
And that's kind of a very specific thing for her to tell me.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, she always knew that he wanted a bike. Why would she just randomly bring that up if you didn't ask her to get a bike?
Also, of all things that would help you in this world and the phase you're in, you want a motorcycle?
Just for him, because he doesn't want to...
It's not really a smart move.
It's not a family car. He's claiming he wants kids.
I mean, is it going to be a... like a...
moto taxis?
Yeah, those things.
Maybe. We see Ellie and Victor at the hardware store, and they're getting tools and supplies to go to Providencia and begin fixing up the house. It was... Man, I could feel Ellie,
her stress. Ellie out on something. So they're going to go... They're into the hardware store. They're going to get... you know, drill, machete, and a hammer. That's what Victor
says. Yeah, just some random stuff.
And they
stuff.
Go to the drill section, and he says, Yeah, babe, this is the one. Let's get this one. And then she says, how much is it? It's like, you know, $558, whatever the currency is. Mm-hmm. And that translates to like $140.
I believe so, yeah.
And then Ellie says, wow, that's a lot. I can get one in the States for like $50. I'm like, bitch, no. No, you cannot. If you're buying a
like
drill...
like a piece of shit
if you're buying a drill for $50 in the States, that is a shit... yeah, unless it's used or something. Yeah. That is a shit drill.
Drills are expensive.
And if you're trying to rebuild a home, that drill might not make it the entire build process.
And like, they're cheap.
Really solid drills are very expensive.
They are. And Especially you probably want a pretty solid one.
You want a really solid one that's going to last you like, you know... I mean, a solid drill will last you years and years. So when she said that, I could not take that seriously.
She said her drill lasts for weeks.
Oh, on the battery?
I don't believe that for a second.
I do believe that when you're just like...
Well, when you're not using it.
Yeah, I drilled, you know, I put a picture frame up.
Yeah, but that's not rebuilding a home. And so I couldn't take that seriously.
No. This is the part where they kind of lost me.
What part? When they were getting... Well, when he says he has to have a generator.
He's like, oh, this drill only lasts... an hour or two.
Yeah.
We need to get a generator.
So no matter what drill they get, they have to get a generator, apparently. And generators are so expensive. Like, even here.
What was his thought process? No matter what drill you bought, any drill in this planet, you need to power it or charge it.
Yeah. My whole thing was, why don't you just get a couple extra batteries?
Nah, I already foresee this dude is completely using her.
You're calling it now? 100%?
You're having her buy hardware. She's already sent... couple thousand dollars for the home process that's already been made. Now he wants a generator because he wants to be bougie and have power in this place that just went through a hurricane.
Yeah. He must have had these tools, but I guess the hurricane does definitely affect that.
But if they were at the house wasn't damaged that bad. So where the hell are these tools if he had tools?
I don't know. I have no good answer for that.
That's weird. That's like giving tools to give to your cousin or something? Like... that's odd.
I mean,
you don't
maybe.
Got a machete? Like, there's no machete in your house?
Didn't
you
have machetes are very standard.
Didn't you have one in your house? Like, everyone in Mexico has a fucking machete.
I think we have a machete in our house.
Like, your cousin can't let you borrow a machete?
Yeah, why can't you borrow tools from people?
How are you building a house with a machete? I'm very curious about that.
Get rid of brush, whatever it is.
Clean up vegetation.
Do you think that Victor is frustrated that he can't contribute to the money needed or frustrated that Ellie is complaining about the money that they are spending?
both. One, because as a man, you're trained, you're the provider, yada, yada, yes. bullshit. He has no money. Mm-hmm. He didn't have money in the relationship when he was cheating with her. He doesn't have any money now. So he probably feels a little bit less of a man. Mm-hmm. And then Ellie knows the position he's in is having no money, but she's still kind of questioning the expenses he's saying that they need.
Yeah.
Need with like exactly. air quotes. Quote fingers. Which I think he should give a lot of wiggle room to Ellie, considering it's her money you're spending.
Yes. And I think she has a valid point of kind of what it's coming down to is his appreciation. She kind of just wants to be appreciated more.
She kind of calls him out a little bit, saying, I don't think sometimes he understands like the value of money or what it took to get this money.
Exactly, because she thinks that because she's American, he assumes that everyone just has money.
Which is totally not true.
No.
That's also not a good way to live your life and your mindset of, I have this person I can rely on. They're just going to give me money. Well, you're not in a good position yourself. You can't just expect this from a person.
Yeah.
If you can't afford something, you can't afford something. That's just the position you're in at this moment in time.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more time, you'll be able to be in that position. But like Victor, he's not in that position. And it's kind of weird to just sort of pass that on to someone.
I agree. They spent a total of $230, which isn't too bad, question mark. I mean, I didn't see what they got, so. But they didn't get a generator for that, so. Hopefully.
I would imagine generator would be expensive.
They're so expensive here. I can't imagine over there.
Yep, right.
Sure. But can we move on? Can I
get
a little?
Yeah, go ahead.
Ari and Benny. We'll just cut it off. Ari and Benny. Ari travels back home to New Jersey with Avi, and her parents pick her up at the airport. We find out that in January, her parents flew to Ethiopia to meet Avi. And this is where I'm confused. So you know how Leandro had to bring all this stuff for her, and specifically bras?
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't her parents bring them since they were just there?
That's a plot hole.
Yeah.
Maybe she felt uncomfortable bringing her parents for bras.
Her ex-husband. Ex-husband was a lot more comfortable.
So I'm just looking at just basic generators. I mean, even some of the cheapest ones are just, I mean, that's,
yeah.
If you're already questioning like $140, this is almost four times that much.
Yeah. So Ari's staying at her sister Kristen's house, and we meet brothers Elliot and Brad. I don't think we met them before.
I don't think so either. I don't recognize pretty much all of them.
Same. Janice says she can't stand not having them near, and she wants them to move to the U.S. But you know what? I do appreciate Ari saying that she's going to go back to Ethiopia and that she's not going to go back on her word. Because, man, if she never went back, I can't imagine how traumatizing that would be.
I think she's putting on a good face. Deep down, I'm pretty sure she is.
Probably. I mean, the comforts of home and everything that you're familiar with.
I think I was talking to you while we were watching the show. Pretty much how she's situated in Ethiopia. You know, over here, I don't have a home. I don't have a job. And I was like, ding, 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 hint, 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 parents, I don't have a home.
Give me a little apartment.
If I had a home, it would make it a lot easier. If I could walk into a job, it would be a lot easier.
I mean, her job before was just working at her dad's clinic,
right? You
guys
already know what I feel about nepotism. Just like, I can't stand it.
Well, they already pay for her nanny, her home, and their bills and their way of life. So I don't think that they would have any problem.
I'm pretty sure we know that the shows don't pay much.
No. But what I'm saying is, I don't think that they would have any problem at all paying for her apartment and living here in the U.S. to have them closer. They would prefer that over...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. For their grandkid?
Yeah.
Sure. I think that... I like to assume that all the siblings are like very successful, and one runs a company, and one of them's a doctor, and one of them's a nurse, and they're just looking at their sister, be like,
"Yeah." They probably feel like she's like,
"And you have a live-in nanny?" Because I saw a couple kids in the room.
Yeah,
I'm imagining they don't have a live-in nanny.
Well, we saw that her sister has the grandparents watch the kid.
Which
is normal.
Okay. And
well,
normal.
No, that's fine. But what I'm saying is she doesn't have a nanny.
That's probably short term. You're just like, hey, grandma, you want to watch the kids for like 2 hours?
That's true. Her sister says it's time to consider where she's going to raise Avi, what kind of school system you want him to be in, and the opportunities given in the United States.
You did not like this.
I don't know why that rubbed me so wrong.
I think you'd like to think that great education could be obtained anywhere. And I think it can, especially if you have online resources. It really can.
Yes.
I do agree with that.
I get what she's saying.
They're thinking more traditionally.
Yeah. And I think I made it a bigger deal than it is, and I'll admit that, but I don't know why that comment annoyed me so much.
Yeah, because I'm not going to pretend like great engineer of the world. Like,
yes, that's not true. You know Ethiopian like engineers.
If you have drive, you have drive. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, to assume.
But I also understand what she's saying about opportunity, and I guess your starting point.
You'd have a lot of support.
Yes, I think that would have been a good way to word it. I don't know why it bothered me so much, but I see what she's saying kind of now that I think about it, and I get where you're coming from as well. And she does need the help. Like, even Vinny.
We've already seen her have breakdowns.
Yeah, so what I'm...
She gets stressed out if she would
I think she gets really stressed out and overwhelmed easily, and so if she didn't have that nanny and Benny's out or not helping as much as she wants, I think it would really fuck with her.
Also, what do they do with the nanny since they went away? Do they just, like, temp fire her?
No, she's probably at the house, taking care of the house. Hanging out. You know how people have house sitters here?
So the live-in nanny turns into...
Live-in house sitter.
Live-in house sitter.
Yeah, people have house sitters here. Where
Benny is living in.
Yes, but they're not there now. We find out that 7 months ago, Ari applied for the K-1 visa, but since Corona happened, the embassy closed and there has been no update since. Kristen... So kind of reiterates that she wants her to come home by saying, it's time to wake up. You did your little thing. It's time to get real about life. It's time to grow up. Her sister's too sassy for me, personally. I wouldn't respond well to this.
She's being real. I like it.
I mean, it's good to be real, but also I don't think Ari's going to respond well to being spoken to like that. I think she'll shut down because she doesn't like to deal with like stress or confrontation too much.
I think so too. I would agree with that. I just enjoy calling her out for her shit. I can imagine them growing around her bullshit.
Yeah, I can see that too. I can see there's friction growing up. Armando and Kenny. I love that they were both doing Hannah's nails, just doting on her, being great dads. Armando explains that he feels an emptiness, like something is missing, and he's been thinking about adoption. He has done more research and would like to pursue it. Armando has always wanted more children, and he thought he wanted to adopt a child around Hannah's age, but now he's been more thinking about adopting a baby. Armando brings up in vitro and having a child that has Kenny's blood so they can kind of be a blended family so that he will have a child with his own blood. This doesn't seem like that big of a deal to Kenny at all. He already has, what is it, four or five kids, and those are totally his kids. I don't think blood makes you a family. Blood doesn't make you any less of a father. But I do understand what Armando's view is of having how he is blood related to Hannah. Mm-hmm. He wants that for Kenny as well. And I guess for their own little family. Kenny feels pressure to make Armando's dreams come true. So he does kind of let him speak and explain his points of view. They bring up a good point that a lot of the orphanages are managed by the church in Mexico, and I knew that, and so...
There's some kind of validity.
Yes, it's mostly the Catholic Church, though. And because of that, it is harder for same-sex couples to adopt or even honestly get information about adopting. Like he said, they're just kind of rushing to get him off the phone. So this one orphanage that houses children with HIV, they were much more open to have them come to see the children, experience kind of what it's like for them at this orphanage. You brought up a really good point that they shouldn't have said kind of the longest wait time for this process. She said a woman did come and adopt a child from this orphanage and it took 4 years.
I'm sure when they asked the question, they just kind of meant, give me an average. She just started with like the worst case scenario. Yeah,
like they don't want, you shouldn't discourage them. What's the average?
She could have said, we had a situation where an adoption took 4 years, but most are around the 1 year mark.
That would have been like great versus this kind of discouraging story. I thought it was so beautiful to see the kids run out and hug Armando and Kenny, and they brought them gifts and probably made their day a little bit sweeter.
I'm kind of sad to think that these kids sort of have to put up their best face whenever.
Absolutely. It's kind of creepy.
Not creepy, but it's just sad.
No, it's sad. It's heartbreaking to see these kids feel like, oh, I got to be on my best behavior and I have to be a certain way so that I might get picked. Like, that's so sad. And personally,
I'm already thinking of the small percentage of children to get adopted. And even now, this is children with HIV.
Like, yeah.
Their number's so slim.
Exactly. You have to have a family that's really going to advocate for you and take care of you. And man, it was so sad because How do you visit all these children and just decide, I'm going to adopt that one? I couldn't do it. Mm. I would much rather volunteer and hopefully make an impact on their life, teach them some life things. Right, yeah,
a positive influence on them.
Yes, let's play, let's hang out, let's do homework. I don't know. I personally, I'm so sensitive to that, I guess, and kiddos in general. I don't think I could just pick a kid out. And then you never return, right? Like, you don't hang out with those kids anymore.
I do agree helping is great, but I think the impact for kids is they see themselves in somebody, yes, to give them hope that they can't get.
Exactly.
Like that Kenny brought the, he tied it all back together with the gay community of just like kind of what they went through in the 80s.
Exactly.
I think 70s and the 80s and just losing friends and like that probably.
It's an impact. It's
an impact and it made a connection with them and the kids.
Yeah. That you can live and thrive and be happy.
Right. And his example is, back then.
He lost 80% of the people he knew.
Yeah, they probably had no chance, but now it's like maintained.
Exactly. And so that does open him up to adoption. I mean, he was more into adoption anyway instead of in vitro, but.
Were you surprised that Armando wanted to know?
Not really. I mean,
I think I was
large
surprised.
Families are a very big thing in Mexico. Everyone likes to have a bunch of babies and cousins and kiddos generally running around. That's kind of how it is. My mom is one of 12.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, I just imagine that he seems pretty happy and.
I didn't see it coming, but also I'm like, oh, I get it. It's kind of
culturally. I like how the show is trying. Tension, like having a.
I mean, this is a big deal.
It is a big deal. It is a big deal, but there's sort of like having an argument, like dun dun dun. But I'm like,
we know they get married. We see on the next time on Kenny finally tell Armando how homesick he is. We see that Kenny is going to be a grandfather again and how much he wishes he could be a part of that process with his daughter. And so.
Do you think he goes back home? Well, I'm assuming his daughter just found out.
Yeah, I assume as well.
You think he's going to go back home when she's closer to pregnancy?
Maybe, and can be there for the delivery. Mm-hmm. But I hope they find some kind of happy medium in all of this. Do they decide to adopt instead of in vitro since Kenny's kind of not as down for that? I don't know. I'm super curious of where they end up living. Do they go to the U.S.? Do they continue to stay in Mexico?
Do you think the in vitro thing interest Kenny at all? You think his age is really stopping from
having a baby? I don't think he wants to fully put it down because Armando really wants that.
Right.
But I don't think it's something he wants right now in his life. He raised up his kids.
How do you think they would get through something like that? Armando is proposing this and saying, well, I want you to produce a child.
Mm-hmm.
What if Kenny's on the opposite side? He said, yeah, I totally understand how important, but I just don't want to do that.
I mean, that sounds like where they're at.
But Where do you go then from a relationship? Like either Armando has to accept, like, okay, then does he then just say, I'll just produce a kid then through in vitro? And then Kenny's like, because Kenny's also not saying, I don't want another kid.
No, but
he's sort of just thinking.
What I'm picking up is it's not something that really interests me in having my own. I don't think he cares about it being his own.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to be much more open to adoption.
Well, part of him was, he was talking about his age and how much of his age or how ahead of him versus behind him, which was really sad.
That's super sad.
But Kenny's acting like he's not going to live to be like 90.
Kenny's in too good a shape. He'll be fine.
Hannah's really young still.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm really bad with kids' ages.
If you're about to have another grandkid, mentally you're probably like, oh, I'd like to see like a lot of that grandkid's life.
And yeah.
I don't know, but I'm not like 55 and thinking of new kids. So.
No, I mean, I think Kenny also wasn't thinking about
he probably didn't see that happening at all.
No. Alina and Steven. Turkey is beautiful and I would not mind going.
They have a lot of really good scenery there.
Yeah, it's
even
so
the
pretty.
Streets, the streets they walk in.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're in like this nice touristy area.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks really good.
Alina asks if she can try her mother's coffee and Steven says no.
Oh boy.
Alina's mom asks why coffee is not allowed and asks if it's a sinful drink. He says, God told our prophets that we shouldn't drink it for principles of good nutrition and health. Alina's mom says, are these principles based on real facts, like that coffee can be harmful to a person? Steven says, I'm sure.
I don't want to like make a gym thing.
No, I don't.
Because I mean, the Book of Mormon and what he's doing and asking people to convert, it's like literally a part of their show and it's like a main subject.
It is a main subject, but here's my angle on it. And I get what you're saying, that you kind of have to talk about the religion, but the angle I'm seeing it as, he shouldn't force his religion on someone else. That's fine if that's what you believe and that's what you want.
But that's pretty much his job, though, as not only a Mormon, but he was a...
I'm spacing on it too, but he would go to other countries and try to convert. Yeah, he would basically
show people Mormonism and the church and, like, you know, the Book of Mormon and kind of like the positives of that. So it's like it was his job to do that.
Exactly.
I think most Mormon individuals have to go through that process.
Yes.
If you're like that devoted,
that I know of, mm-hmm. I should say.
So it's his job to ask people to convert and show them, but that almost seems like, why can't you respect my religion? I'm not forcing you to join my religion. Why are you asking me to join yours?
Exactly.
It's like, why don't we have that respect? But it's almost like, if that's not the case, then does this religion believe we're so much better? You need to join ours. We don't put yours at the same level, or we don't show you that mutual respect. And I dislike that. And that's not really targeting, you know, Mormonism, because I'm sure other religions kind of can do that as well. But I would... if someone was super faithful, like, that's great. I really respect that you do that, and, you know, you have really, like, good values, or, you know, I think you have good values, or you're not hurting anyone. But don't force me to do that. I'm not asking you, like, I'm not, like, an atheist or anything, but I'm not asking a religious person, but I want you to be an atheist. Like, I'm not doing that to people.
And, I mean, Alina's mom pretty much says that. Stephen kind of starts out of nowhere saying it would be amazing if Alina's mom would get baptized someday. He says that it could bring problems into their relationship when they have kids, since that will be their grandmother. And Alina looks like she's going to jump out of...
like, choke him.
Yeah, just kill him. Alina's mom replies, it's important to respect the religion of every person and respect the choices made by that person. And Stephen doesn't care.
It's also, I don't think he's the best spokesperson, because he's...
No, he's absolutely the worst spokesperson. He's a complete hypocrite, and he doesn't follow the rules himself. So why would you ask anyone else to?
Alina's mom and her calling him out on all his bullshit.
Yeah.
Of like, why are you giving us all of these things to live by, but you've broken them over and over again?
Yeah.
You said he's had sex with five women?
Yeah, it's not a breakdown one time.
So you met someone, got to know them, had sex with them.
I mean, they probably didn't get to know him.
Well, whatever. You... went on a date, you did something, you knew their name, and
they watched Star Wars.
You watched Star Wars, like, you had sex with this person, and then you said, oh man, I broke this
commandment
in my religion. What is it, a month, 2 weeks, a week later? You went on a date with someone, you hung out with them, you watched Star Wars, you had sex again. Like,
he doesn't regret it.
You were such a hypocrite.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know what would be interesting? If it happened once, and he felt really bad and was like,
like, I can understand that. I totally fucked up. Yes.
You know, I went against my beliefs. Mm-hmm. But you did it five times, dude.
Yes. And you're making out with
and hundreds. I'm assuming, I don't know all the background, I'm assuming, I think he did mention it was different women.
Yeah.
I think he did mention that.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, the same person.
No.
So, if you did it once, you messed up, you were 23, you know, it's been 2 years, 3 years, you're better than that.
Oh my God. What if he's had sex, like, 40 times, but it's been with five women?
Yeah, we don't know
oh my
those
God.
Details.
Yes.
It's just, I don't know. I can't.
I can't take him seriously.
Yeah, I can't take him seriously.
Like, I respect everyone's culture and religions, and that's fine. And I would never push my own beliefs on anyone. But the fact that I don't even feel like he respects his own religion. You don't if you're just doing whatever you want. So why do these other people have to respect it?
And when you sort of, where you're wishy-washy on the beliefs, like, I believe Mormons, they can't drink alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you can swish it around in your mouth and spit it out. Like, come on, dude.
We cannot consume.
Your like, tongue, and you're like, you've already absorbed some of it in your mouth. Like, come on. Like,
he says it's kind of like eating vegetables after eating a candy bar. Ew.
About sex?
I guess. If you feel that way, then maybe you shouldn't be pushing your religion on other people. Really? Alina's mom tells her to break up with him, point blank, and I completely agree. I love her mom. She's not taking any of his shit.
Later on, they're walking.
Fortune-telling bunnies?
Fortune-telling bunnies, which let me, really cool.
Let me be clear. These bunnies are 100 times better than Psychic Tracy.
Yeah, they have no judgment.
Yeah, they can't lie, unlike Steven.
Well, she gets a tin that says...
as long as my heart is filled with goodness, I will get what I wish for.
That doesn't mean you have to stay with Steven.
No. It did talk about, like, a man as well, but in a very general, like, love terms. Sure. Maybe I should have wrote that down. Sorry. She truly wants this happy ending with him, and I don't understand it. He has let you down basically every single day of your trip with him, and then he's let you down by lying to you and telling you basically the whole time before then was a lie. Or, I don't even know. Just... He's never told you the truth.
She's almost doing the thing where you kind of excuse things, making excuses for him.
Is this it? Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Lena said something when they were sitting at the table that I thought wasn't legit. She said, I love you as much now as I did before. And I was like, really?
No.
Really?
She should not.
That seems kind of an odd statement to make. Are you trying to comfort him? Because fuck him.
Yeah, exactly. Do you want a little bit of a spoiler on them? Wait, you don't like spoilers?
No.
Okay, never mind.
No, I disregard. Want my reactions to be what the people genuine. Are watching.
Corey and Evelyn. Corey doesn't want to leave and will fight for this relationship. He's awkwardly been writing letters and sliding them under the door to Evelyn, who has locked herself in their bedroom, it seems. Also weird, but okay.
What is the... So we assume Corey doesn't have a lot of money.
I say their money is equally theirs because that bar is...
What
they both did.
Like, okay, he went away for a couple months, he found a chick, got it in. I don't know how much you really love your wife if you can just kind of do that fairly quickly.
She was brutal. I'll stand by that.
Okay, no, I get that. Okay, I get that. She was brutal. It was like, hey, end a relationship.
But you expect...
End a relationship, but like...
You would still wait till the divorce.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Why is he...
Maybe that makes me weird that I can kind of see that point. Why are you
fighting for this so hard?
I don't think he should fight very hard for this.
A pretty toxic relationship.
He says it happens all the time that he basically gets kicked out. Why did she agree to marry him if she tells him to go away regularly? And then gets mad when...
Why does he keep coming back?
Yeah.
When he apparently can find someone in like a month.
He's found someone and was very happy with them and gave up this great life with Jenny to come back and just live in hell with Evelyn.
Maybe there's like pressures to stay together, family pressures, expectations, but I don't know, man. It just doesn't seem like something at the time. You don't have very many bonds. You don't have kids together.
I don't think they have fun together at all, even in their best of times. I think they tolerate each other in their best of times. Is that too brutal?
I think that's a little.
I just don't see, what do they have in common? What she does for fun is trash him and take him to her sisters to trash him. Does she surf or she just hang out on the beach and that's how they met?
I think she probably.
Okay. I mean, it is a surfing town, so probably. I don't like Evelyn constantly trashing Jenny when Jenny's done nothing wrong. She didn't know he was married, and then he admitted it, and he said, go home to your wife.
Oh, she did the, when he was with that thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's brutal.
Okay. She's so much nicer. He should just go be Jenny. There's no ties to Evelyn. I mean, other than legally, but other than that little piece. On the next time on, we see Corey and Evelyn go to couples therapy, but Evelyn makes it clear she doesn't even really want this to work. So what's the point of going? I don't know if it works if you don't even want to be in the relationship. We see Ari and Benny arguing over Benny going out a lot and turning his phone off for like 3 hours at a time, which is not good. Red flag. We already talked about Jenny and Sumit. Alina reveals to Steven that she set him up and the messages with Misha were completely fake and she knows everything. So I can't wait to hear about
future
how far it went.
Yeah. Good TV.
And we a little bit mentioned Kenny already being very homesick and finally telling Armando that it is something affecting him greatly. Anything else?
No, just great. I think it was a pretty good episode.
I thought honestly, it was a great episode.
Honestly, I thought it was a great episode.
Love seeing Steven and Alina section.
Progress. When episodes make progress, I think that's really good.
Yeah, versus only build up.
That was awesome. But yeah, again, we're going to be... kind of remote. Maybe you'll see less tweets, things like that.
Exactly. But we'll be around. We'll try to make something happen. I'll get internet for a couple hours, maybe one day, and I'll tweet hello.
I was trying to convince Ellie to record at the remote.
I don't know how we'll get the episode and then go back to a town that has internet to upload. And it's not good upload speeds. Like when I'm talking about upload speeds, it's like If I check social media, the images can't load. We're talking about that.
One meg upload that yeah. 20 people are sharing.
It's rough. Okay. Thank you guys so much for your patience. I hope you guys have a great week. All the positive vibes. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.